The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
The Drew Mariani Show. On Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew today. I don't have to tell you that we're 7 weeks away from the midterm elections. All you have to do is turn on just about any device and you get a little message. If it's on YouTube or popping up in some of the strangest places, it's a campaign ad from one candidate on either side of the aisle telling you why you should vote for him or her coming up on the first Tuesday of November. But there have been some surprises in what was supposed to be a red wave. And usually with the incumbent president, the opposite party takes the midterm elections, but the overturning of Roe versus Wade over the summer has kind of upended that. And based on whatever poll you look at right now, the midterm elections could be a toss-up, depending on, again, your yardstick as to who will rule in the House and the Senate. Let's handicap some of this right now with our regular contributor, Dr. Paul Kenger, professor of political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania, also the executive director of the Center for Vision and Values. And his latest book is The Devil and Karl Marx. Dr. Kenger, welcome back.
Hey, John, good to talk to you again. Thanks.
A big picture question about polls. Can we trust polls? Is there still some accuracy in there, because it seems like everybody wants to put their spin in the numbers too?
Well, they are very accurate. And in fact, I would tell people on this station that even though Donald Trump, somehow beat Hillary Clinton in 2016, and a lot of people said, oh, well, there you go, the polls were completely wrong, they all had Hillary winning. Well, the polls predicted that Hillary would win the popular vote. So they had her winning by anywhere from about 2 to 5%, and she did. She got more votes than Donald Trump. But the polls didn't break down the Electoral College state by state. So they're usually wrong within a margin of error of about 2 to 3%.
Yeah.
And some are better than others. I mean, what you really got to project is voter turnout, and that, John. I mean, that's the wild card.
Right.
You never know how they're going to turn out, at what level, and that's what all the best pollsters are gambling on and trying to assess to make the right call.
And that was also that was the wild card in some of the primaries that we saw over the last few weeks, where candidates that you didn't think had a chance actually won, and others won by wider margins only because the turnout was so low.
Well, that's right. And for this year, they are expecting a higher Republican turnout than Democrat turnout. That's been the projection for a while, for about a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if the November 2022 midterms were held last November, I mean, you would see a Republican landslide, unlike you've seen any time, going back 50, 60, 70 years. The Republican win in 1994 with Newt Gingrich and the Contract with America, that was a giant swing for Republicans back then. And people were anticipating that happening again up until probably about May or June. And that's when the Dobbs decision kicks in. Now, I happen to think that a lot of that is overblown, John, the Dobbs decision. I think, yes, it has mobilized a lot of liberals, a lot of Democrats. But what I think has helped liberals and Democrats more is that Biden is not as unpopular as he was just 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Now, he's still not popular. His approval rating is probably about 41-42%. But a few months ago, he was down in the mid-30s. I mean, he had really tanked. Gas prices had tanked, right? I mean, I guess pun intended here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were $5-6 a gallon, especially in places like California. They're still high, but they're not as high as they were. And I would add here too that I know the elections are only 6 or 7 weeks away, but in politics, that's a lifetime.
That is.
And right now, Vladimir Putin is making noise right now about conscripting a whole bunch of men into the Russian army. You don't know what he could do again with Ukraine. Winter's coming up, so there's still a lot that can change that could once again allow the Republicans to pull ahead back at levels where they were being projected about a year ago.
And tell me if I'm not like a lot of other folks who are listening to this conversation right now. I vote when I go down aisle 3 in the supermarket, and that's the aisle with soup. I like soup. I can't afford it anymore. It's $2.79 a can. Mm. That's how I vote.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Is it really? Is it $2.79 a can? Is that right?
It is.
The prices are really high. Inflation remains high. You know, the economy is not doing well. So much of the job situation right now, forget about the unemployment rate. There's just a whole lot of people who aren't filling jobs that are open. I mean, you know, I have this happen to you, John. I'm sure it has. And a lot of people listening right now, I can't tell you how many restaurants that I've been to in the last year where they're slow or they've even shut down on a Monday or Tuesday night because they can't get enough staff.
Yep.
I had my wife and I went to a place in Western Pennsylvania called Chautauqua Institution. I spoke there in July. In fact, a few weeks after that, Salman Rushdie, tragically was shot there. Thank goodness he survived. But we went to the hotel restaurant, and we were there for two nights. And they offered only the sit down buffet that you could only order buffet. My wife and I hate buffets because you eat too much at a buffet.
Right.
And so we thought maybe Sunday night they're doing a buffet. They did it again Monday night. And I said to the hostess, I said, not to complain and sound picky, but can we order something other than the buffet? And they said, well, what's going on is there's a shortage of waiters and waitresses.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough people to wait on tables. That's why we're doing buffets. I was at another restaurant about a month or two ago. It was a Monday night, and John, there's a literal sign on the door. It said, we are closed tonight to give our staff a break because we don't have enough employees.
Wow.
Now, that's a strange situation, but that's the kind of employment or unemployment or underemployment situation that's going on in America right now. And there are a lot of people who are going to hold Biden and the Democrats. They usually hold the party in power in the White House responsible, fairly or not, for that kind of a situation.
Can't escape it. Dr. Paul Kangor handicapping the midterm elections right now. 888-914-9149 here on the Drew Mariani Show to join our conversation at 888-914-9149. One of the more reputable polls out there is the 538 poll. As I look at the Senate, and that's really where we have our eyes glued, Dr. Kangor, is the Senate, because that really will determine whether or not the Democrats stay in power, whether that those checks and balances are there, especially when it comes to issues of affecting us as Catholics. North Carolina is even right now. Ohio is even. Wisconsin is even. Georgia is up 2 for the Democrats. Nevada is up 3 for the Democrats. Florida is up 4 for Republicans, and that's a relatively low number for the GOP in the state of Florida. With 7 weeks to go, admittedly an eternity, what do some of those poll numbers tell you?
Well, I would give all those to Republicans if that's the case.
Okay.
4% being Rubio in Florida, he should win. But anything that's even or 2-3% plus for the Democrats is probably a Republican win, because you're looking at a 3-5% Republican turnout advantage. And Republicans usually don't have the turnout advantage. So even though those numbers were better for Republicans a year ago, do you have it in front of you, John? What do they have for Fetterman and Oz in the state of Pennsylvania?
Let me do a check on that, because they don't have that here. Let me do.
Okay.
I'm going to Google this live. Latest polling, Pennsylvania, which is going to be a fascinating race to look at.
I'll talk while you're looking. So John Fetterman is the Democrat. He's extremely liberal. He's a Bernie Sanders Democrat. He's running as a kind of everyday guy. He wears a hoodie, literally.
Yeah, he does.
Never a jacket and tie. He has tattoos. He's a big kind of hulking guy, and he looks like the guy down the street, but he has the politics of somebody from Berkeley. And the Trotskyist Socialist
Workers'
Party.
Very disarming. And, right, and there's Dr. Oz, and there's been some controversy there. And he surprised everybody. That was one of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, one of those places where in the primaries, Dr. Oz, while it was close, he started to fade a little bit, but he won. The latest 538 poll, and this is as of September 16th. So we are, what, 5 days old? It has Fetterman at 50.9% and Oz at 41.4%. So Fetterman's got a 9.5-point advantage.
Well, that's the highest I've heard. That's very, very high. I know people in the Oz campaign, and they were within 4 to 5% by Labor Day, and yeah. And they were happy with that. They thought if they could be within 4 to 5 of Labor Day, they would be okay. One thing here too, everybody in Pennsylvania knows this. The take on Oz was that Oz would do very well among suburban women, which is where Republicans have been hurt terribly, especially in Pennsylvania. So you, where Donald Trump really got hurt in Pennsylvania in 2020 was among white suburban women. And so the idea was that Oz would do really well among them. We're not seeing that in the polling, but we could possibly see that in the turnout. But if Catholics listening right now, I don't want to make this a partisan Democrat or Republican issue, but it would be, I think, just horrible, especially for the pro-life movement, if this state of Pennsylvania, which once had as two senators Rick Santorum and Pat Toomey, two staunch pro-life Catholics, would end up with Fetterman, who is completely anti-life on the abortion issue, and Bob Casey Jr., who has become so bad on the abortion issue that he was actually against the Dobbs decision. The Dobbs decision, which affirmed his father in Casey versus Planned Parenthood. I wrote a piece for Crisis Magazine calling Bob Casey Jr. the worst Catholic senator in the United States because of this. But this is very much a possibility in the state of Pennsylvania. And a lot of people here are absolutely stunned by Fetterman's massive lead over Oz. And I don't know if it's going to change or not. I bet on Fetterman right now. I do think the numbers are closer than 9 or 10%.
Yeah, they probably are. As you look at the polling in Pennsylvania, you can run your cursor over it and watch the polling from June 23rd up until today. And the mark here in July 19th, they were very close. They were within 4 points. And then Dr. Oz just collapsed and Fetterman started going up. Oz is recovering somewhat, but again, still at that 9.5 points right now. But Dr. Paul Kengor still forecasting that Republicans will win a number of those very key seats where the polling shows it very close in very important battleground states around the country. 888-914-9149, handicapping the midterm elections here on the Drew Mariani Show. Pam's in Highland Park, Illinois, joining our conversation. Hi, Pam, you're on with Dr. Kengor. Welcome.
You know, Paul, you need to know that not all Catholics are Republicans.
I tried to make that clear. Half of
Catholics are Democrat, and so believe in the Democratic values. So you need to put that out on your show.
What did I say to that offended you?
Everything is pushed in a Republican matter. This one's winning. This one's losing. This one's winning. This one's losing. It seems like the Republicans are winning in this one. Come on.
Well, as I said,
are Democrats.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I think Fetterman will win in Pennsylvania. Well, if I had as I think I just said, I would bet on Fetterman in Pennsylvania. He's the Democrat. He's not Catholic, and neither is Oz, certainly. The other states, as I said to John, I said any state that currently has Republicans within 2 to 3%, Republicans will likely win those states based on turnout and projections. So that's not me projecting my personal preferences. That's just giving you a political scientist's take on what I think will accurately happen.
Pam, do you use the resources from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops that they publish in terms of voting, which has
I work for an archdiocese.
Ah, okay.
I am Catholic all my life, and I am a proud Catholic Democrat.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
And we need you to say that more often, and I know you're doing that, and thanks be to God, and I'm glad we're able to amplify your voice here on Relevant Radio. Thank you so much,
Pam. Can I ask, is Pat still on the line?
Yes, Pam's still here.
I am.
Yeah. Could I ask, because I've said this before on Drew's show, have you written any letters to the White House expressing the fact that Joe Biden as a Catholic is pushing these really hard pro-choice positions, at least saying to him, Mr. President, I'm a fellow Catholic. Would you please do better on the abortion issue? Have you done that?
I have not, because as a woman, I know that these issues are difficult, and I am not going to tell the woman down the street who's dealing with a lot of things that she cannot make a choice for herself.
That's okay. So your answer is that you're pro-choice. So you support Biden's position on abortion.
My answer is that everybody needs their own choice. I wouldn't make a choice for myself.
Okay, well, you're pro-choice. So you support Biden's position. So you're a Catholic, and I don't mean this in a harsh way. So you're a Catholic, and you work for an archdiocese, and you're pro-choice in the abortion issue, and you support Joe Biden's position, and so you're not going to say anything to him because you agree with him on what he's doing on abortion. Correct?
I believe it's between a woman and her doctor and her God.
Okay.
All right, Pam. Thanks.
Very good.
Thanks
so much.
Can you
answer my question?
888-914-9149. This is the only place where you can hear this type of conversation take place on the radio or on an app or on the internet. It's here on Relevant Radio, where conservatives always do have a voice. Democrats like Pam, even though you may not agree with her viewpoint or any of the viewpoints of any of our guests or callers, we give them the platform, as we're giving Ruth right now in Austin, Texas, with Dr. Paul.
Yeah, by the way, I'm really glad she called in. That was great.
Yeah.
It was really good to hear that on the air.
Pam, thank you so much. Ruth, you're on the air with Dr. Paul Kengor in Austin, Texas. Welcome.
Hi there. Thanks. I called years ago when Trump first ran and said I wasn't going to vote for him because he is crazy, and I really felt like we were going to have a nuclear war soon after he got in. And so I think one of the fathers got in there and talked, but there's no real answer except, you know, I couldn't vote for Trump, I couldn't vote for Hillary. And the thing is Republicans may be pro-life, but the Dems are pro-life for the rest of us. And so I guess I'm a Democrat for life because the Dems do stuff that Republicans just don't even touch. Like one time you had a speaker talking about how bad it was that the Democrats were going to give money to the states for, like, roads and stuff like that. The states weren't doing it, and some of them can't do it. So it's not everything they do is bad, or it could be done better, but I will not vote for the Republicans. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're a pro-life Democrat. The previous caller, was it Pam, John? Was that her name?
That was Pam in Highland Park.
Yeah. So Pam in Highland Park was a pro-choice Democrat. So I would say, though, as a pro-life Democrat, now Pam doesn't want to do this because she's a pro-choice Democrat, but I would reiterate my plea to you, if you could, to make your pro-life Democratic voice heard and contact the White House and Joe Biden and say, Mr. President, I'm a proud Democrat, I'm with you, but I'm also pro-life and I'm Catholic. Could you please be more pro-life in your positioning? I think that would be really, really helpful. And as I've said many times on Drew's show, I know for a fact that Democrats don't do this. And it's allowed their party to get worse and worse and worse on the abortion issue, to the point where a president like Joe Biden, who's always been pro-choice, now isn't even in favor of the Hyde Amendment. He's completely abandoned any pro-choice positions whatsoever. So you guys need to try to pull him back please try to do so, especially if you're a pro-life Democrat.
Ruth, thanks so much for the call at 888-914-9149. Let's go out to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Francis with Dr. Paul Kengor, ahead of the midterm elections here on the Drew Mariani Show. Hi, Francis. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi.
You're on the radio.
Yes.
Yeah, it's your turn, Francis. What would you like to say?
Yes. I was saying that I don't agree with your last caller. I mean, I'm a pro-life Democrat, and I won't change my party because I was raised that way. They've changed their values, but I won't change because I want them to know that I'm not going to, you know, vote for anybody that's pro-choice.
Thanks for adding to the conversation, Francis, in Albuquerque. Richard's in Plainfield, Illinois. Hi, Richard. You're on with Dr. Kengor.
Hi there. Yes. Well, the woman, that Pam, she is a Biden, literally. She is Biden the same. How dare she call herself a Catholic, and you're promoting all of this death, a culture of death. How do you do that?
Well, she is, she's a pro-choice Democrat, and you know, at least the last couple callers were pro-life Catholic Democrats. You know, and I think she said she worked for the Archdiocese of Chicago, I believe, I assume.
Yeah.
If she's in Highland Park, and I urged her to please speak up for life in the party, but that's not where she is. She's pro-choice, so that's her position, and within the Archdiocese. And I just hope that there aren't a lot of other people like that. I hope that we have. I mean, I want pro-life Democrats who can try to work to change their party from within. That's what we need.
Richard, thanks for adding to the conversation. I'm glad we got your voice on Relevant Radio. Let's go to Mary in Washington, D.C., listening to Relevant Radio 1260. Now, Mary, you used to work for the USCCB?
Yes, I did. And I just wanted to address the last two callers, these women, as a fellow woman and as a fellow Catholic, in saying the basic bottom line, in my personal opinion, and based on the document of forming consciences for faithful citizenship, the U.S. bishops have stated unequivocally that the life of the child in the womb is their preeminent priority. And it says that right at the beginning of the document, I believe right in the first paragraph. And in my opinion, and based on that, you cannot be a Catholic and be pro-choice. It doesn't regardless of your political affiliation, independent, Republican,
right,
Democrat. You cannot be a true Catholic and be pro-choice. We must protect the child in the womb, and we must protect the mother. And nobody ever talks about the after effects of women who have had abortions and how it scars them on so many different levels. And it may even be physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And you know, the last woman who called and said, well, I was born a Democrat. And I'm going to stay a Democrat, but I would argue that the definition of Democrat has changed because it's become more and more anti-life with every passing year. And so I don't really have a particular question, but I did want to offer this comment. People should read Forming Consciences of Faithful Citizenship. And I go with John Paul II, if we cannot protect life in its most vulnerable form, then ultimately we will be doomed as a society. And we're seeing the effects of what abortion and contraception has wreaked on our society. And I'm sorry, but President Joe Biden, in my opinion, Catholic in name only, he can't even, you know, thou shalt not kill. Let's look at the commandments if we have to even go back to that.
That's an excellent phone call. And I would add here, too, look at Joe Biden. Look at the example of Joe Biden. So here's somebody who has been an elected senator, you know, in Washington, vice president, president, going back to the 1970s. But he started off supporting the Hyde Amendment, along with almost all the Democrats in Congress, including Ted Kennedy, including Jimmy Carter, you know, 1977, 78, 79. And by the mid-80s,
he was moderate on the abortion. It wasn't pro-life, but he was a bit more moderate.
And Paul, we have to leave it right there. This has been a spirited conversation, and we talk about polls. I think we just had the most accurate poll of Catholics in the United States on the air. Dr. Paul Kenger, thank you, Dr. Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, John. Take care.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. We'll continue this conversation here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew. Maybe you were listening to Father Simon Says, and Father took a call from someone who said, how come from the pulpit, they're really not talking about some of the social issues that affect us, especially abortion? Now, at our parish, we pray every single week, even post Roe versus Wade, that there be the greater respect for all human life from the moment of conception until natural death. And perhaps you do that in your parish. But this particular caller to Father Simon said, her pastor said, I don't want to go near any of those social issues. Well, you know, that's a separate thing to talk about. But these issues of life from the moment of conception until natural death are really the very foundation of who you and I are as Catholics. Roe versus Wade, of course, overturned some 17 states now banning abortion. Millions of babies have been saved. And you've probably talked more about your faith as a Roman Catholic man or woman post Roe versus Wade, and specifically how you define life, more in the last several weeks than ever before. The University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, is pioneering a groundbreaking program for students who are pregnant or who have children.
Soon, there might be more babies on campus at the University of Mary.
We're providing them community. They have a stable home and environment for them and their child. They'll be loved. They'll be supported, but they also have to do their part.
A family has made a donation for scholarships to support students who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy or who recently had a baby by providing free room and board and child care.
One of the ways being, in particular, is inviting our students who really love kids and love babies to come and volunteer and provide daycare, really, for these women so that they can go to class and not have to worry about where their children are at and who's taking care of them.
As North Dakota awaits a judge's decision on a law that would ban abortion statewide, the university says this is a way to practice what they preach.
If we want to say you shouldn't have an abortion, then we need to be able to support them as best as we can.
That's a story that was done by Joel Crane of KFYR Television in Bismarck, North Dakota. Let's take a look at this groundbreaking program right now with a voice who's familiar to many of you here on Relevant Radio, a part of our family, Monsignor James Patrick Shea, the president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. Monsignor, good afternoon.
John, it's always wonderful to be with you. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed to be talking with you and to share this good news. Tell us the genesis of this groundbreaking idea. This really is one that takes your breath away.
Well, it's an extraordinary thing. You know, North Dakota is a pretty solidly pro-life state. And so we knew that if Roe versus Wade were overturned, if the Dobbs decision went in the right direction, that we would have a new landscape in North Dakota in terms of abortion law. And so we were really eager for that. But at the same time, we sensed that there was a deeper responsibility that we have in the midst of it, that we would need to understand that the ground rules of the whole fight for life change post-Roe. And we knew that from the beginning, John. We had a sense for that. And so we've been praying and we've been thinking and we've been contemplating what it was that we could do meaningfully to make sure that our pro-life values, our love for women and children, our love for the unborn child, and our love for every woman who carries a child under her heart, especially if that heart is breaking or is afraid or is in some difficulty or is ashamed, we felt that we just really needed to give some real thought to that. And so we looked at the assets and the advantages that a university like the University of Mary has. We have a large and flourishing early childhood development program in our School of Education. We have the number one nursing program in America for the education of undergraduates. And so we have all kinds of nursing students all over campus. And we're a university. And so we have access to educational programming. And so we were able to go out and identify a donor, a family who was willing to make a donation such that we're able to offer to women who are in crisis pregnancies, or to women who have recently given birth, a single mom who's thinking about what am I going to do now with the course of my life. And we're providing them, John, with a place where they can come to school. The endowment that we've established provides for free room and board for those women who find themselves in difficult situations so that they can come to the University of Mary, they can get a great education, and then they'll be able then to provide better for themselves and for the new life which they've brought into the world. And so this, John, is a way for the University of Mary. And you know, you and I for years and years have been talking about this. I remember when I did interviews with you from the front lines of the March for Life in Washington, D.C., when the University of Mary led the March for Life. And so we, our students and the University of Mary community, has been working for the end of abortion for a long time. And now, as things changed, as the landscape shifted post-Dobbs, we realized that we had a solemn responsibility in a certain sense to make sure that people understood that our beliefs are not just political beliefs, but they go very deep, and that we love women and we love children, and we're willing to put our money where our mouth is.
Monsignor, you mentioned the magic word there, political, because there was a little sentence that your chief of staff, Jerome Richter, said in that story from KFYR, and he said, "We're providing them community." And I'm thinking, for me, just sitting in the pews, what can I do to provide community as a parishioner, as we get involved in issues of life within our own community? What can I do to provide community? Because we're talking about human beings here. This is not a political I'm right, you're wrong, left, right, red, blue issue.
Right. You know, I think that for those of us who have been on the front lines of the pro-life movement for years and years and years, we've always known deep down that we love unborn children, but we also love those who are facing crisis pregnancies and who are in the circumstances of their lives facing very difficult and heartbreaking sometimes positions in their life, or situations where they feel like they're being abandoned, or everything is at stake, or their future is being compromised in an irretrievable way. And we want to be able to step up and offer hope and solutions. And we have to be able to do that as a Catholic community. We really do. And so parishioners, people who are sitting in the pews and who are thinking about this, there are ways in our local communities in which we can offer that kind of support. What the University of Mary is doing is, in our little corner of the world, in a place in North Dakota where there are all kinds of pro-life people, we're able to wave a flag now and say, hey, everybody, here's a project. In concert with our local crisis pregnancy center, here's a project which you can support. There are different ways in which you can volunteer. Of course, we need monetary support. We need all of those different types of things. But the University of Mary isn't alone in this. All across our country, in every community in this nation, whether you're in a state where abortion now is illegal, or in a state where the abortion laws, in anticipation of the overturn of Roe versus Wade, have actually been expanded and are more radical than they used to be. No matter what the political situation is, there's always an opportunity for us to search out solid, compassionate, pro-life solutions. And that's really important, because that kind of charity, that concern for the poor and for the weak and for the vulnerable, has marked Christianity from its very beginnings. If we look at the way that the Christian faith, if we look at the way that Catholicism eventually, over the course of about 300, 350 years, overcame the persecutions of the Roman Empire, it was because the Romans, you know, were a proud and cruel people, and they saw in the midst this small body of deep believers who were going about feeding the poor, helping the sick, attending to the needs of those who are vulnerable. And those acts of charity, that clear compassion, was so compelling that the empire converted, along, of course, with the truth of the gospel. But the truth of the gospel took on flesh and bones in the charitable actions, in the deep charity and love that the early Christians showed. We have a chance to do that now in a new apostolic age. We're in a time in which people are losing faith left, right, and center. And in the midst of it, we're believers, and you as a person in the pew, in your local parish, are able to look around and say, how can I live as a visible witness of God's love in the midst of the pro-life movement?
If you're just joining our conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show, Monsignor James Patrick Shea, the president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, is joining us with a brand new program just announced for women in crisis pregnancies, a single mom who has given birth, to come to the University of Mary, a place to go to school, also free room and board. And may I also add, because you have one of the leading nursing programs in the United States, that's part of the infrastructure as well, isn't it?
That's right. Once again, as we looked, we realized that we have this big and flourishing nursing program. We've got lots of nursing students, and so they're able to provide the type of prenatal care which is necessary, and postnatal care as well for a woman who gives birth. And then we have this large and flourishing early childhood development program. And so we have all kinds of students who are training to be, you know, daycare providers and kindergarten teachers and those kinds of things. And so they're looking for internship opportunities as well. And so it allows us to provide the type of childcare which is necessary as well, so that these women are able to focus upon their studies and focus upon their futures. And that's the best way that we can provide visible, tangible love for not just them, but for their children. If we love those little babies when they're in the womb, and we're often accused, aren't we, as pro-lifers, of caring only about unborn life until the time of birth. How many times have we heard that trope?
Right.
How many times have we heard that insult? It isn't true. We care about all life from conception to natural death. And so those little babies who have just been born, one of the best ways in which we can love them is to provide for the needs and the future of their mothers, who are their caregivers. And God has entrusted these little children to these women, and those women have entrusted themselves to us. And so it's our work to care for them well, to provide them with community and a sense of belonging, to support them and surround them with love and encouragement, and then to provide them with the education necessary so that they can earn a good living and provide for the children who have come into their lives. And so it's a very beautiful thing.
Monsignor Shea, understanding that you just announced this program a couple of weeks ago, have you had any response so far?
Yeah, we have. We've had quite a bit of interest, and then I think some applications have come as well. We're in the midst, of course, of just beginning the new academic year, and so I can't say for sure that we'll have any women in this program enrolled this first semester. Mm-hmm. But I'd be really surprised if we didn't have some enrolled by the time the second semester of this academic year rolls around.
And just to clarify, this is for women any place in the United States hearing our conversation. This is not just relegated to those in North Dakota.
No. This is for women who find themselves in a difficult situation because of an unexpected pregnancy, or who have recently given birth, and who really want to further their education. We want to encourage them to choose life, or we want to say thanks for choosing life. And the people who are supporting this program have been just very generous, and so we have some funding available, and we're ready to receive interest and applications. Absolutely, John.
And I'm also thinking about the power of witness for the sake of the conversation. Let's say you get five women who will be a part of this program in the second semester of this year, Monsignor Shea, what they will do to help each other to evangelize, and then also to share the good news of life and the foundation of everything that the University of Mary is with the community at large. This is a program to evangelize. You know, even though there may be a single mom out there or someone in a crisis pregnancy, probably not thinking of herself as someone as who can evangelize or as an evangelizer, this is what will come out of this program, I think.
Yes, well, let's not downplay the tremendous courage that it takes to bring a baby into the world. Any of our listeners who are parents know that, to bring a child into the world and to raise a child is an act of tremendous bravery. And so I think that, you know, I think of, you know, we've got almost 4,000 students at the University of Mary, and I think about all of them, and what a witness this community of women in the midst of our campus will be for all of those students. The ways in which they'll be able, the crying of a child in the midst of a university campus reminds our students of the serious responsibilities of life and what they themselves are preparing for in the midst of their study, in the midst of their prayer. And then, as you say, you know, I think that that these women, by their witness, by their generosity in bringing life into the world, even though it be in the midst of difficult circumstances, what we're really grateful for in anticipation of them is the ways in which they'll witness to our students and to each other of both the difficulty of life, but also the promise of life. You know, we always say to our students, John, and I think you and I have talked about it in conversations that we've had through the years, I always say to our students, life is hard, but it's good. It's worth living. Remember, Venerable Fulton J. Sheen used to say always, life is worth living. And so life is hard, but it's good. And our work in the world is to make sure that we're doing the very best we can to love those who are placed in our path every single day. St. Mother Teresa, after whom this program is named, by the way, remember, mm-hmm. it's the St. Teresa Community for Mothers at the University of Mary, the St. Teresa of Calcutta Community for Mothers. She always used to say, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to one another. We've forgotten that we belong to one another. And it's a poverty, she also said, to decide that a child must die so that you can live as you wish. It's poverty to decide that a child must die so you can live as you wish. And Mother Teresa knew a thing or two about poverty. She spent her whole life in the midst of poverty, bringing relief to Jesus in the distressing disguise of the suffering and the poor. And so in that same sense, we're not going to forget that we belong to each other and that these women who need a place to go can have a warm and welcome home at the University of Mary. That's what we stand for, and we're willing to stand for it also in ways that might cost us.
Monsignor James Patrick Shea is with us this afternoon here on the Drew Mariani Show, talking about the St. Teresa of Calcutta Community for Mothers, a groundbreaking program for women in crisis pregnancies, single moms who have just given birth, to go to the University of Mary, free room and board, and to really get an education and that firm foundation in life and to stand up and to witness to life. Monsignor is going to stay with us here on the Drew Mariani Show, and you can join the conversation. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society. Not licensed in all states.
You can't be a half saint, be a whole saint, or nothing at all. You're listening to the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is the place to become a whole saint right here on Relevant Radio. John Harper in for Drew. I'm feeling lucky this afternoon, Monsignor Shea. We've talked with nothing but educators since the beginning of the hour, and we've got 9 minutes left, and no one has given me a pop quiz yet, because, of course, I didn't study. So I trust that you won't do that. How you mentioned 4,000 students strong, and, you know, over the years, as you and I have had the opportunity to share the good news of the University of Mary, not only at its main campus in Bismarck, North Dakota, but also in Phoenix and now also in Rome, we have watched that student body just increase. Thanks be to God.
It's been a great blessing. You know, we try and offer a really affordable education. It's an important thing to us. We just welcomed our new freshman class this past weekend. And one of the most wonderful things for me, John, is to talk to parents who are bringing their second, third, or fourth child to the University of Mary. And many of them mention that they heard about the University of Mary through our conversations on Relevant Radio. Maybe 2-3 years ago, maybe they heard an ad just 2 weeks ago. But I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for the partnership of Relevant Radio, which has certainly been part of our tremendous growth. But yeah, we're the most affordable, serious Catholic university in America, and that's on purpose. We think that we have a serious responsibility. And then as we're looking out, you know, this new initiative that we've been talking about, the St. Teresa of Calcutta Community for Mothers, that's part of the type of thing that we believe a Catholic university needs to have the courage to do in the midst of a time like ours. We're all about the gospel. We're all about the new evangelization. We know that students have to be prepared for their career, but it's not enough if they come to the University of Mary and are only prepared for their career. You mentioned evangelization before the break, and we think that evangelization is the work of a Catholic university. And so we're thinking about it all the time. That includes students who come to the University of Mary who have never heard of Christ or the faith before. It also includes the students who come to the University of Mary who kind of won the lottery, and they were raised in great Catholic families, but they still have a lot of growth and education to receive.
Wherever the students fall on that spectrum that you mentioned, Monsignor Shea, it does give me great hope because we are looking at the future generation of Catholics and also Catholic leaders here in the United States. And yes, we're not putting blinders on to what we've seen in Pew studies and the state of Catholicism in the United States. But when I hear the stories about a serious Catholic university that, of course, is the University of Mary and other Catholic young Catholics who are so engaged in their faith, it gives me great hope.
Well, and we have every reason to be hopeful because the Holy Spirit inhabits the Catholic Church. The Holy Spirit inhabits the Church, and that means that we're always regenerating, that we're always in the course of renewal. And so it doesn't matter. It matters to a certain extent. We should be heartbroken. We should be concerned if the culture turns dark or if the faith appears to be diminishing in the midst of our country or those kinds of things. But we should never lose hope. We don't have a right to that. And we should never be nostalgic either. Remember, there was a time at the very beginning of The Lord of the Rings where Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, has Gandalf speaking with Frodo Baggins. And Frodo at a particular time says, I wish none of this would have happened in my time. And Gandalf, the wise wizard, replies, so do I, so do all who live to see such times, yet that is not for them to decide. All that we have to decide is what to do with the time we have been given. And so you and I, John, and all of our listeners, we live in difficult times. There is a decrease in faith. There is a decrease in interest in traditional morality. There is a culture of death, which we have to contend with in the midst of our culture. But at the same time, we have the great treasure of the truth. We have the great treasure of the Catholic faith to assist us, to instruct us, to encourage us, and we have the presence of God in the midst of our lives. And so we have to be fearless, and we have to be filled over brimming with hope. And so I'm here to witness to you. This past weekend, we between freshmen and transfer students, we welcomed onto our campus more than 600 new students, wow. And they're full of life. And they're full of possibility, and very many of them are going to become the great evangelizers in the future. So there's no reason for us to give up hope. It's very beautiful. There's a lot of great things happening.
Thanks be to God for that. Our conversation with Monsignor James Patrick Shea from the University of Mary. If you're just joining us here, the St. Teresa Community for Mothers, the St. Teresa of Calcutta Community for Mothers is a new initiative at the University of Mary, which will be for women in crisis pregnancy, single moms to not only get an education, but also courtesy of some generous benefactors, be able to do that with a free room and board. And of course, the very strong spiritual foundation as well. We have time for a couple of quick questions here. 888-914-9149. Teresa is in Covina, California, listening to Relevant Radio 93KHJ. Teresa, you're on with Monsignor.
Thank you, and especially blessings to you and Relevant Radio and the listeners. Monsignor, do you have a stellar, exemplary program, counseling program for pregnant children, you know, like 10, 11, 12-year-old child?
Yeah, that happens. And Teresa raises a good point, because when we think of women in a college setting, of course, we're thinking of a certain age. But what if somebody comes to you and they're not quite ready just because of their age? They're not ready for the University of Mary. What do you do?
Well, so this program has been established particularly for college ready students. And so It wouldn't be for 11 or 12 or 13 year old children. We have a women's care clinic, which is in town, which would which has a wonderful counseling program and a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. And the University of Mary has been supporting them for a long time. And they would be able to assist with a situation or a set of circumstances sure. like that.
Sure. Teresa, another Teresa in Chicago this afternoon. Teresa, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi, Monsignor. Thank you so much. And to the people who are funding this, it's just absolutely brilliant. And I wish that we could find something similar for the homeless in Chicago, because people sometimes they don't understand really how people end up on the street. Mm-hmm. And I've been assisted a couple of times in my life. My parents died by the time I was 17, wow. and a virtual stranger took me in.
Wow. Wow.
So people, they don't understand, you know.
Exactly. Teresa, I have to step in just in the interest of time because we're running out of time, but you raise a good point, and perhaps the seeds of the Holy Spirit have been planted in somebody hearing not only your witness, but the great idea from Chicago. Online, cometomary.com. Cometomary.com. Learn more about the University of Mary and the St. Teresa of Calcutta community from others. Monsignor James Patrick Shea, thank you. God bless.
God bless you, John. Great to be with you.
Here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I donate now, and actually, every chance I get, I send people the link to the app.
I'll tell you, it's changed my prayer life.
That is beautiful.
It really has. I'm so grateful to all of you.
Make a tax-deductible donation at relevantradio.com